do appreciate the invitation to be here tonight. I have talked to some friends and people that I know about this congregation, and I have heard some very impressive things about Brother Boyd and about the elders and about the congregation stand here for the truth. And it is indeed an honor for me to be invited to speak to a congregation such as this. I tried to meet everyone tonight. I thought if I stood at that door, I'd be able to catch everyone, and people kept coming in, and I finally noticed this other door back here. But I would like to meet everyone before I leave tonight. I know there's a lot of you, and it may take some time, but I would like to do that. You know, I suppose when a preacher gets an invitation to speak in an opportunity such as this, one of the first things that comes into his mind is, what am I going to preach? What am I going to speak about? And of course, immediately I started thinking, well, what is my most eloquent sermon? Or what is my most powerful sermon? Or what is my most moving sermon? But I decided against all of those. I decided tonight, rather, that I wanted to communicate to you some things that I believe as a gospel preacher and some things that I believe as a Christian in the Lord's church. I decided tonight that I was going to speak to you on the topic, why I am a member of the Church of Christ. On December 5th, 1983, I was in a troubled condition because I was concerned about my soul. I understood that I was in a lost state. I understood that unless I obeyed the gospel of Christ, I would spend eternity evermore in hell. After studying for several weeks on December 5th of that year, I obeyed the gospel and was baptized into Christ. Now someone may come and ask, well, why the Church of Christ? Why not the Presbyterian Church? Why not the Baptist Church? Why not some denomination? I want to tell you tonight why I am a member of the Church of Christ. And I could speak for a lot of hours on that subject, but don't worry, I'm not going to do it. I could speak for a lot of hours, but I picked up several points why I'm a member of the Church of Christ. I want to tell you first this evening that I am a member of the Church of Christ because it is the church that was purposed in the mind of God. When we open our Bibles and we read Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 that says, In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. I want you to know at that point, God already had the Church of Christ in His mind. When we read about Adam alone in the garden, I want you to know that at that point, God already had in His mind the Church of Christ. Now, some individuals will tell you, no, the Church of Christ was an afterthought. They will say it was a plan B. They will say the church was a secondary plan. They will say that Christ came to this earth to establish an earthly kingdom, and because the Jews rejected Him, He had to go to plan B and set up the church instead. That's what the premillennialists will tell you. But I want to tell you tonight that is a lie. I want to tell you tonight that from the beginning, the Church of Christ was in the mind of God. In Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in about verse 10, the Apostle Paul is talking to the church in Ephesus, and he tells them to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Notice what Ephesians 3 and verse 11 says. He says, according to His eternal purpose. He said, there were some things that were a mystery for a long time. He said, but now they're being revealed. The manifold wisdom of God from the beginning of the world is being revealed through the church, according to God's eternal purpose. Friends, I'm telling you, from the beginning, the Church of Christ was in the mind of God. And that's why I'm a member of that church. But number two, I want to tell you this evening, I am a member of the Church of Christ because not only was it purposed in the mind of God, it was prophesied throughout the Old Testament. You remember the great patriarch, Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, God made a command to Abraham that would try any man's faith. He said to Abraham, Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from my kindred into a land that I will show thee. He said, Abraham, I want you to up and move. He said, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And he goes on to tell Abraham, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. But listen to verse 3 in the end. He says, Abraham, and in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. What? How is that going to take place? How are all of the nations of the earth going to be blessed in Abraham? I tell you this evening, I'm a member of the Church of Christ because of that promise. Ultimately, the earth was blessed through the seed line of Abraham, Jesus Christ. And ultimately, today, that blessing is received in the Church of Christ. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, Paul said, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." He said, if you've been baptized into the body of Christ, if you've been baptized into the church of Christ, you have put on Christ. And look at verse 29. He says, "And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." What promise? That promise made back there to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. I'm a member of the church of Christ because it is the church that was prophesied. I want to show you another passage. Look at Isaiah chapter 2. There's an impressive prophecy made in Isaiah 2 about the Lord's church. And it is a very specific prophecy. You know, today sometimes these individuals claim to be psychics. You've heard of the Psychic Friends Network. By the way, I think I heard that it went out of business. It went bankrupt. You'd think if they'd been psychics, they'd have known that was coming. But the Psychic Friends Network went out of business. You've heard about the horoscopes. You ever read a horoscope? It is some of the most generic information. It can apply to anybody. But when the Lord predicts the future, I want you to look what He says. Look at Isaiah chapter 2, beginning in verse 2. Because He makes a prophecy about the church, and it is a specific prophecy. Notice Isaiah 2, beginning in verse 2. He says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days." I want you to notice three things. He's going to tell what is going to happen. He's going to tell when it's going to happen. And He's going to tell where it's going to happen. He says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above all the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall say, Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And we will walk, and He will teach us His ways, and we will walk in His paths." He says, "For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Now the three things I want you to notice. What, when, and where. The what is, He said, the Lord's house is going to be established. You know, when we read 1 Timothy 2:15, we find out that the Lord's house is the church of the living God. So He is saying the church is going to be established. But when? He says it's going to take place in the last days. And where? He says it shall go forth from Jerusalem. He tells us what is going to happen. He tells us when it's going to happen. And He tells us where. Now that's an impressive prophecy, isn't it? That beats these horoscopes of today, doesn't it? Keep that in your mind because we're going to come back to it in a minute. I'm a member of the Church of Christ this evening, number one, because it is the church that was purposed of God. Number two, it is the church that was prophesied in the Bible. But number three, it is the church that was prepared by the Lord. You know, all of the Old Testament is preparation for the coming of Christ and for the fulfillment of the Church of Christ. It was prepared by John the Baptist. You know, some people will say John the Baptist started the Baptist church. You know, Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 says, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." You know what the Baptist church will tell you? Kingdom hasn't come yet. John the Baptist was preaching the kingdom is at hand. John the Baptist was preparing the way for Christ. He was preparing the way, ultimately, for the work of Christ, which was culminated in the Lord's church. I'm a member of the Church of Christ because it is the church that was purposed of God. It was prophesied by the prophets. It was prepared by John. But number four, I'm a member of the Church of Christ because it is the church that was promised by Jesus. In Matthew chapter 16, we read that Christ has gathered His disciples together. He's on the coast of Caesarea Philippi. And He says, "I want to ask you a question." He says, "Whom do men say that I am?" What's the public opinion? Who do men think that I am? Four answers were given. They said, "Well, some think you're Jeremiah. Some say you're Elias. Some say you're one of the other prophets. Some say you're John the Baptist." Now, you know, those were really compliments to those other four men. But He says, "Whom say ye that I am?" And you know, Peter spoke up. I'm not surprised to read that. Because Peter was oftentimes an impetuous individual, he spoke up, and I think sometimes we fault Peter, but he really shows his love for the Lord here. Peter speaks up, and he says, "I've got the answer, Lord." He says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Christ says, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father, which art in heaven." He goes on to say, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock..." Upon Peter? No. Upon this rock, upon the statement that Peter had just made, upon the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, upon that Christ said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Friends, I'm telling you this evening, I am a member of the Church of Christ because it is the church that Christ promised to build. It is the church that was purposed of God. It is the church that was prophesied in the Old Testament. It is the church that was prepared by John the Baptist. It is the church that was promised by Jesus. But let me tell you the fifth point. I like this one. I'm a member of the Church of Christ because it is the church that was purchased by the blood of the Lord. In Acts chapter 20, in verse 28, the Apostle Paul has gathered together the Ephesian elders, and he charges them. He says, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Notice that. He said, God hath purchased this blood. He has purchased this church. This church belongs to him. Friends, that's why I'm a member of that church. Because it belongs to him. It is his church. And notice what he paid for it. He purchased it with his blood. I want you to think this evening of what is the most valuable possession that you have. Think of your earthly possession. What is the most valuable possession you have? Someone might think, well, my car. Someone else may think, well, my house. Let me ask you, would you pay the price of blood for that possession? Would you pay your life? You say, well, no. No, I would not do that. Friends, the church of Christ is precious to him because he paid the price of blood. You know, in Ephesians chapter 5, we're told, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. If you skip a verse, he says, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such blemish. It's describing what Christ desires of the church. He said he purchased it, he gave himself, that he could present it to himself, a glorious church. Not having spot, not having wrinkle, not having blemish. That's what the Lord wants for his church. What does that tell you when we allow sin to remain in the church? When we tolerate sin in the church, Christ gave himself that it might be a pure church. You know, 1 Corinthians 5 says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. He said, purge it out. This church is precious to Christ. He purchased it with his blood. Friends, I'm a member of the Church of Christ because he purchased it. He owns it. He paid the price of blood. And I tell you this, when you pay that kind of price, when he comes back again, he is not going to accept a substitute. When you pay that type of penalty, or that type, when you pay your own blood, give your own life, he's not going to come back and accept a counterfeit. Someone says, well, this other church, this denomination is a lot like his church. Friends, he doesn't want one that's a lot like it. He wants the one that's his. He wants the one that he paid blood for. I'm a member of the Church of Christ because it is that church. Next point this evening, I am a member of the Church of Christ because it is the church that was perfected on the day of Pentecost. I've already mentioned throughout the Old Testament was a preparatory period for the Lord's church. We mentioned that John the Baptist was involved in paving the way, some preparatory work for Christ. But on the day of Pentecost, the Lord's church was perfected. Now remember Isaiah 2. I said, tuck that away in your mind. We're going to come back to it in a minute. In Isaiah chapter 2, Isaiah named three things that were going to happen. He said the Lord's house was going to be established. He said it was going to be in the last days. And he said it was going to take place in Jerusalem. Let's look at Acts 2. Is that what happened? Acts chapter 2. Let's see the what. Is that what took place? 1 Timothy 3:15 tells us that the church is the Lord's house. And we read in Acts 2:47 that the church was established on that day. Those who were saved were added to the church on that day. So the church was established. Was the time right? Someone may say, well, I don't know about the time. But you know, Peter answered that question once and for all. Acts chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, we're told Peter stood up with the 11 and he said to them, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, it shall come to pass in the last days. Peter said, I don't want you to mistake the time. Isaiah said it was going to take place in the last days. He said, this is that. This is the last days. So the thing is right. The time is right. Well, what about the place? Acts 2 and verse 5 says, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem devout men out of every nation under heaven. The time was right. the place was right, and what he said would happen, happened. Friends, I'm a member of the Church of Christ because it happened just as it was prophesied. It was perfected on the day of Pentecost. And I'll tell you this evening, any church founded at any other time is not the church of the New Testament. A church founded 10 years later is not the church of the New Testament. A church founded 100 years later is not the church of the New Testament. Those individuals today who call themselves Latter-day Saints, there are no Latter-day Saints. Any church that was founded at any other time than Acts chapter 2 is not that church. Any church founded under any other circumstances or by any other man other than Jesus Christ is not the church of the New Testament. Tell you next, I'm a member of the Church of Christ, number one, because it is the church that was eternally purposed in the mind of God. It is the church that was prophesied throughout the Old Testament. It is the church that was prepared by John the Baptist. It was promised by Jesus. It was purchased by blood. It was perfected on Pentecost. And lastly, this evening, I tell you I am a member of the Church of Christ because it is the church that preaches the New Testament pattern. I know some people say, wait, there's no pattern? There's no such thing as a pattern? They say the New Testament is a love letter. But friends, you know, if there is no pattern, the Apostle John made a strange statement in Revelation 22, 18 and 19. Because John pointed out, if you add to the Word, if you take away from the Word, he said you're going to be held accountable by that Word. Now, if there's no pattern, what are we going to add to? If there's nothing to be followed, what are we going to take away from? Friends, if there's no pattern, John made a strange statement. I'm a member of the Church of Christ because it is the church that follows and fits and preaches and practices the New Testament pattern. Number one, it follows the pattern with regard to organization. In the Church of Christ, you will find elders. You will find deacons. You will find gospel preachers. And you will find members of the Lord's church. Someone says, why don't you have a pope? Because it's not according to the pattern. You know, when I read Ephesians 1:22, I read that there is only one head of the church, and that is Jesus Christ. There's no authority for the pope in the pattern. The Church of Christ follows the pattern with regard to its organization. But secondly, it follows the pattern with regard to its worship. Each Lord's Day, we engage in 5 acts of worship. We engage in prayer. And might I add that men lead that prayer. You know, 1 Timothy 2:12 says, but I suffer not a woman to teach or to usurp authority over the man, but to remain in silence. We also practice, in addition to prayer, we practice singing. And it is a cappella singing. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, we are instructed that we're to be speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We have authority, and the pattern authorizes us to offer to the Lord the fruit of our lips. We don't have authority for a mechanical instrument in the worship services. We follow the pattern with regard to worship in our prayer, in our singing, and in our preaching. We preach the power of God unto salvation. We preach the preaching of the cross. We preach the doctrine of Christ, and nothing more and nothing less. We also involve ourselves in giving. A free will offering upon the Lord's Day by the authority of 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. The Apostle Paul said to those brethren in Corinth, he said, as I've given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. He says, upon the first day of the week, you're to give how? He said, as God hath prospered him. We practice that. And that's how the Lord's church is supported. Not by donut sales, not by raffles, but by free will offerings. I'm a member of the Church of Christ because it follows the pattern with these things. And lastly, let me mention also with regard to worship. It partakes of the Lord's Supper each and every first day of the week. Someone says, each and every first day of the week? Doesn't that take away from the significance of it? You know, the Bible says in Acts 20 and verse 7, that's what they did in the New Testament. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. By the way, that's one of my favorite verses because it says, Paul preached unto them and continued his speech until midnight. I'm not going to do that this evening. But you know, that passage goes on to tell us when Paul was preaching, that even when he was preaching, somebody fell asleep. Thankfully, I've never had anyone fall out the window, though. I'm a member of the Church of Christ because it preaches the New Testament pattern with regard to organization, with regard to its worship. And number three, it teaches the pattern with regard to the plan of salvation. You know, there are many in the Lord's church today. There's a thing going around, there are many in the world today, I should say, who teach, if a man is going to be saved, all he has to do is ask Jesus into his heart. They will say the sinner's prayer. Ask Him to be your personal Savior today, and He will save you. As recent as this week, someone handed me a tract that said, if you want to be saved, you just have to accept Jesus as your Lord and say this little prayer. There is a videotape going around Alabama right now. Some rich man has paid to send this videotape to every household in the state of Alabama. And it portrays the life of Christ. And at the end it says, if you have not accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, then repeat this prayer and ask Him into your life, and you will be saved. Friends, I want to tell you this evening, throughout the Lord's church and from now into eternity, no man has ever been saved by saying that prayer. And it's frightening to me because the day is going to come when individuals are going to go to stand before their Maker on the day of judgment thinking they're okay because they said that prayer and asked Jesus into their heart. Friends, it's not according to the pattern. It's not what the Bible teaches. According to the New Testament, the Bible teaches that a man must hear and believe the gospel. Mark chapter 16, 15 and 16, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But not only must the person hear and believe, it doesn't stop there. That individual must also repent of his sins. Acts 17:30 says, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. But it doesn't stop there. He doesn't just hear and believe and repent and stop there. The Bible teaches that with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:9 and 10. But finally, it doesn't stop there. Because the Bible teaches absolutely a man must be baptized, immersed in water, for the remission of his sins. Friends, that's the message that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. He told those Jews when they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. That is the message that Ananias preached to the great persecutor Saul. He said, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. And do what? Wash away thy sins. Acts 22:16. That is the message that the Apostle Peter preached in 1 Peter chapter 3, 20 and 21. Peter said, the like figure whereunto even now baptism doth now also save us. People say baptism has nothing to do with being saved. Peter said just the opposite. And friends, it is the message that our Lord Jesus Christ preached when He gave the Great Commission. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, Jesus simply said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Friends, I'm a member of the Church of Christ because that is the plan that the Lord teaches. I want to tell you this evening, I'm a member of the Church of Christ because it is the church that was purposed in the mind of God. It is the church that was prophesied through the Old Testament. It is the church that was prepared by John, that was promised by Jesus, that was purchased by blood. It is the church that was perfected on Pentecost, and it is the church that preaches the New Testament pattern with regard to organization, with regard to worship, and with regard to the gospel plan of salvation. Now, I'm not sitting here this evening saying, look what I've got and you don't. Because Jesus extends the invitation to all men. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This evening, if you are not a member of the Church of Christ, I want you to know there is salvation in no other body. There is salvation in none other than that body. Friends, I am a member of the Church of Christ because I know the day is coming when the Lord will return with His mighty angels, and He's coming back to get that church that belongs to Him. If you're not a member of that body tonight, we stand ready to assist you to become one. The Bible teaches a man must hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. If you've been studying and you're ready to do those things this evening, we stand ready to assist you. If you're a member of the Lord's church who has sin in his life that needs to be taken care of in a public manner, if you sin publicly, you need to deal with it publicly. If you need to respond, we stand ready to assist you as well. This evening, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we would invite you to come as we stand and sing this invitation song.